Blog Talk Radio. We are having technical difficulties, but God is always in control. Hallelujah. We give you, this is Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson of Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International here in the city of Florida. And we are broadcasting again from the Living Way Christian Center, where our covering here in the city of Florida, which is our covering, which is Apostle's Minute. We thank him and the family for being with us on tonight, and we also give our shout out to the Kingdom Builders International, Evangelist Hannah and Prophetess Teresa Doxson in particular for doing everything that they do to make sure that we're able to go forth. And we just praise God for all of you that are listening in on tonight. We are live tonight. We thank you for being diligent with us and continuing to check us out and see what thus says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a treat for you tonight. We've got one of the founding members of Warriors of Christ House Prayer Church International, and my son in the ministry is one of the Sons of Thunder. You've heard his brother, Prophet Matthew Barnes, and I introduce to you who's going to be my tag team partner on tonight, and that is no other than Prophet Corey Gregg, and he is the founder. He's been on sabbatical. He's been on mission, but he is the founder of Kingdom Advocacy Ministries, and we're going to let him greet you in the way that only he can. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so excited to be here tonight. You have no clue how excited I am to be here tonight with my father in ministry, with my mentor, with my apostle, who there are no words to describe the love I have for this man of God. I thank you for the invitation. Tonight, I thank God for Kingdom Builders International, that they're doing such a wonderful work in the Lord. And I thank God for my granddad in the ministry, Papa Lynn. Thank you, Jesus, for him. My name is Prophet Corey Gregg, and I am the founder of Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. I am son in the ministry of Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International here in the City of Glory. We are excited for tonight. We just know that God is going to do awesome things in His Word, and I'm not going to belabor the later time. I just want to get right to business. I want to get right to business, and God has just been doing some awesome things, and we're just ready to go forward that His glory will shine forth even now.
Amen. 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 Thank you, man, God, for those words. And he's a able-bodied in the body of Christ. And he's able to do the Holy Spirit, and he prays that everything is going to go well. And so we have a little bit of righteousness, that all these things, which is everything else, shall be added unto us. And we know that because there's a proverb that says that it reminds us that we're not to lean to our own understanding of anything. It says that as long as we're able to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, and in all our ways to acknowledge him, that he shall lead and direct our paths. And we believe that because it is true of so many things that God has shown us. Amen? Amen. The last time that we were alive, we were dealing with forgiveness. And we were talking about do yourself a favor and forgive. We talked about the six ways to determine that you have unforgiveness. And just real quickly, if any of these things are going on with you, there's a good chance that you deal with unforgiveness. Because, see, number one, unforgiveness always keeps you poor. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, you remember what the other person that did to you. Number two, unforgiveness always boasts of its own record. You always, kind of put yourself in a position, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, to toot your own horn. Number three, unforgiveness always complains. If you find yourself to be a complainer, the thing is, most of us don't think that we fit in this category, and so that's why I'm just sharing it with you again, because we did spend extensive time on that. Number four, unforgiveness alienates, divides, and separates. That's what unforgiveness does. Number five, unforgiveness accuses and exposes and continues to bring up the offense of whatever it is that has given us a heart. Amen? And number six is unforgiveness is always angry and jealous when someone that it is angry with gets blessed. When somebody that we're angry with gets blessed, we know that we still got unforgiveness in us. Amen? And so the one thing that we left with you concerning unforgiveness is that we wanted you to know that forgiveness is a decision. It is not a feeling. It is a decision. And so you have to decide, you have to want to be forgiven. You have to want to have this thing going on with you. This prayer I want to leave with you before we get into our topic for today. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for warfare, for welfare and peace, and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. Verse 12, then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Verse 13, then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The reference to that is Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verse 29 through 30. And verse 14 says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name.
Hallelujah.
And as we, this is a fitting opening for where we're going to be going today, because what has happened is we find ourselves seeing so many different things that's going on around us now, and we become basically to the point where it doesn't even faze us anymore. We see so much on TV, we hear so much that goes on around us. We've just basically given in to this world. I'm talking about from the front door to the back door, from the pulpit to the door. We've allowed the enemy to overtake us. We've also been talking about Psalms 82 very vividly, where it, you know, verse 4, it begins to tell us why are we judging unjustly? Why are we allowing the enemy or these judges that's in the earth to judge on our behalf? We also read reading in Psalms 82 that the world is on tilt. It's all out of whack because us in the body of Christ aren't doing the things that we need to do to keep it properly lubed, properly spinning in the way that it's supposed to. We're supposed to be the hand up and the hand out for everybody on the earth. We're not to allow the things that's been allowed to go forth. And so the bottom line is God is not pleased. And because he's not pleased, and he says it all in the scriptures, and basically there's so many things that's been affecting us. And before we really get into that even, you recognize that we always go and deal with the harmonious marriage prayer. Because what has happened is our marriages in the body of Christ is suffering even more than it is out in the world. And us men and women of God, we just given up. Mostly because we screw with the one that God has given us, the one that we stood before him and proclaimed to be ours. Along with other things, the enemy has weaved many things on the inside, and often we'll hold on to those things that we want to just start over fresh. And that's really not God's way. Yeah, he gives us an out. He says we can have a bill of divorcement, but there are some prerequisites for those things. And so what we're trying to say is, hey, listen, we do it your way, God. You'll be the one to tell us that it's no longer ordained of you. And because of that, this harmonious marriage applies to all, whether you are single or whether you are married. And I say that because the marriage is ordained of God. We're speaking of the marriage of a male and a female. And we're also speaking of the marriage of the body of Christ to Christ. And so this marriage applies to you. And we call that marriage of the body of Christ to Christ the marriage of the apostolic and the prophetic. Because he speaks to us apostolically, and then he gives us utterance that we can prophetically go out and do what it is that he says, and be able to make folks know of him and bring others into the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. So, if you will, join with me in this harmonious marriage prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. Father, because you are in us, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme. Father, we believe that love is displayed in full expression, enfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. Hallelujah. Father, we live and conduct our marriage honorably and becomingly of God, and we esteem it as precious. We esteem it as worthy and of a great price, O God. Father, we commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are compassionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and say that we are tender-hearted. And Father, we believe and say that we are humble-minded. Father, we seek peace, and it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance because we follow after love and dwell in peace. Father, our prayers are not ended in any way, and in the name of Jesus, we recognize that. Father, our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially of the natural, God, grows stronger day by day in the bond of unity because it is founded on your word and rooted and grounded in your love. Father, we decree this day that we have a marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially of the natural, God, made in heaven. And Father, we thank you for the performance of it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
And our scripture references, for those of you, if you again, you can always go back and you can listen to the podcast and get this. Romans 5 and 5, Philippians 1 and 9, Colossians 3 and 14, Colossians 1 and 10, Philippians 2 and 13, Philippians 2 and 2. Ephesians 4 and 32, Isaiah 32 and 17, Philippians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 7, Ephesians 3, verse 13 and verse 17, and Jeremiah 1 and 12. Those are the reference scriptures for the harmonious marriage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, here we go, y'all. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Our scripture is coming from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to be going through verse 23 through verse 31. The Lord gave us this scripture because what we found is that sin is in the land. And we hear so many men and women of God talking about how everything is so great, how everything is so prosperous, how everything is so wonderful. And that's really just not true. Sin is rampant. What's going on is these are the worst times. These are not the best times. These are the evil times. These are the evil land. See, God is upset. Because there's too much going on that does not represent him. And these scriptures that we're going to be dealing with today more or less puts us in a position to understand what it is that God is saying. We always give you some references concerning other ministries and that we're dealing with. And we're going to today is no different than any other time. So we will be talking about one of the scriptures as well as one of the ministries that we would ask that you would take a look at, because it's got some great information that will be able to help you in your ministry. You may already know about the ministry, but in case you don't, then we want to make sure that you have access to a lot of this information, and that you can go and check on the ministry. Because here at Voice to Christ House of Prayer Church International, we are a house of prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe in the truth. We're apostolic. We believe that we need to be activating gifts. We believe that we need to be righting wrongs. We believe that we need to be perpetuating the truth. And so we admonish you to find those things and to search out those things that we talk about. We're not going to give it to you if it's not rooted and grounded in the Word. And we expect that you will call us on it if we do. That's why we ask that you would, you know, listen to the podcast over and over again, you know. You can go through Kingdom Builders International. And every podcast, if you go to Apostle Carlton Clark on the Warfare Hour, Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, or Apostle Carlton Clark or the Warfare Hour, you'll be able to pull up any podcast that we've done since September. And we've done every month, pretty much every Thursday, since September. And you can pull up these podcasts and listen to them. And you can go over them again and again, and you can dissect them. And we keep the word readily available. And we also pray that you will contact us on Facebook. Let us know, you know, how things are going with you. And we'll give you all our contact information at the end. But we're going to go ahead and let Prophet Grady read the scripture and give you what God has given him to get us started off. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Scripture is, again, Ezekiel chapter 22. I have it in my laptop. Verses 23 through 31. I can read it, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. The word of the Lord says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of Israel's false prophet in the midst of her. Like a roaring lion tearing the prey, they have devoured human life. They have taken in their greed treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy thing. They have made no distinction between the sacred and the secular. Neither have they taught people the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst of her are like wolves, rending and devouring the prey, shedding blood and destroying lives to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them over with whitewash, sending false visions and divining lies to them, saying, Thus says the Lord, God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and extortion and have committed robbery. Yes, they have wronged and vexed the poor and needy. Yes, they have oppressed the stranger and temporary resident wrongfully. And I saw a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, I poured out my indignation upon them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I repaid by bringing it upon their own head, says the Lord God." I got that scripture, and when I was done reading it, all I could say was, wow. All I could say was, wow, because it was so straightforward. And our mission has been in this season to really expose the work of the false prophet, the work of those who are after filthy lucre or dishonest gain, those who are preaching prosperity over proper right living. And when I finished and I began to pray and meditate on the scripture, the Lord gave me an understanding in this scripture time, and it's reflective literally of today. It's reflective of today. I mean, the word of God came to a completely wicked and corrupt people. Everybody was doing their thing. You know, they had false teachers, false prophets, false pastors going forth. Even now, the church, even as it was in the old time of Israel, the church now is in the same mode of operation, where you see all these people. You know, you got to have a big church or one church with five locations in order for you to be called blessed of God, and that's not the case. True understanding, you know, says that we're all one body, one body. And we should all be able to come together and visit the kingdom of God with prayer, with impartation, with the word of God, basically. You know, there are many people, many leaders who seek to lead people astray. I mean, they call themselves prophets of God, yet they only prophesy when the offering gets to the right place. You know, you go to churches and people get disgusted with going to church because everybody just won't offer it. Offering after offering after offering, five offerings. I really thought that the church was just the church. You know, I get too many people. We talk about our leaders leading the church. Everybody wants to talk about leading my people. It's my church. He's my people. These are your people. These are people that are hungry for Christ, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Your job is not to lord over them. Your job is to lead them into the presence of God. You know,
more because the technology allows these things to come almost directly at you. So if you've got a weak heart, you can't even go to the movies nowadays. But not only that, we got HD, or high definition television. Now we got flat screen, plasma screens. We got interactive TV now. You got 3D TV now at home. You don't even have to leave the comforts of your home. Everything, every kind of everything that you could desire, you got access to it. I'm not saying that the 3D and the technology and all of that is of the enemy, but I'm showing you how he's able to use these things against us. We're seeing pretty much every kind of show up close and personal. We have, you know, we talked about a few weeks ago how the leader of our country, President Obama, had went ahead and said that it was okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. And that's not what the scriptures say. And so, unfortunately, we have many pastors, preachers, teachers that want to be politically correct, that's going to go along with it because the president did it, because he's our first president of color. And we're not talking about nothing but what the truth says. I just read to you one thing. It says, turn not to those mediums who are familiar spirits or to wizards. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. God has told us all through the scriptures that he didn't want us to even be among them. He told us to look out for them. All through the scriptures, you know, we've been talking about looking out for false gods. And the reason we're bringing some of this stuff up today is because there's a lot of things out there that if you are not equipped to handle them, you should really not be talking about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're not equipped to fight demons, leave demons alone. Until you get some power, some anointing, and some knowledge. If you don't know how to tell people about what thus said the Lord, then direct them to somebody that does. Don't get me wrong. Many of the listeners are bona fide folks that's been out there praying for a long time, that are dealing with the enemy, but all of us can get overcome. Anybody can be fooled. The scripture says even the elect might be fooled. Might be. Because all you got to do is put yourself in a position of compromise. And once you put yourself in a position of compromise, you know, the enemy is very good at what he does. He's been doing it for thousands of years, for millenniums. He knows what it takes to do it, and he's coming at you. He also knows what your weaknesses are. There's many things out there that the body of Christ is beginning to fall for, because we think that we're prepared to fight this enemy when he comes. But he's coming at us in a way that we don't even understand. I want to remind you that the scriptures always tell us to be looking out for those things that are not of God. Exodus 34th chapter, verse 14. Let's see what they got to say. Exodus 34 and 14. Tells us, for you should worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous and impassioned God. God tells us, you know, when he gave the Ten Commandments, he told us not to be putting no other God before him. And what we've done is, because of these different symbolisms, as I was sharing with you, that are all around us and that we use every day. With it in TV, on the radio, and on our money. It's everywhere. We can't get away from it. And so what we do is it's become a familiar spirit in our lives. And so we just kind of sometimes accept it. But there's many things that I want to bring to your attention that you need to be looking out for, because these are things that are a curse of the culture. These things are the curse of the culture. And a lot of the information that we're going to be discussing coming up, we got from the site that we told you we want you to take a look at is The Truth Behind Hip Hop, or EX Ministries. EX Ministries. A wonderful brother by the name of Elder Prophet G. Craig Lewis. And about 24 years ago, he began researching music and the fact that that music has in the body of Christ. And God opened up so many doors and windows for this man of God and for his ministry, for him to be able to bring some truths. And he has shared these truths in a series of DVDs. And so we encourage you to go to the EX Ministry site and look at the volumes 1 through 5, The Truth Behind Hip Hop, volumes 1 through 5. And a lot of the information that we'll be talking about today, some of it is coming from the volume 4. And so if you want to let me fit with the face. Hallelujah. Because these symbols are all around us, and they're designed for us to ignore and even believe that they don't exist. But they're everywhere. But we're going to turn it back over to the prophet, because the man of God has some additional information. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to continue, because you know one of the things that we have to understand is that the judgment of God is loose on the wicked. That's one of the things we have to understand. This is why the times are so bad, because all those who call this time the wonderful times and all are experiencing jubilee and different things like that, they're lying to you. And God is really fed up with them lying to you. Really fed up. I mean, just like really fed up with him lying to you. Because his desire is for us to live in his righteous and holy way. Because of that, all those who rebel against God operating in pride, different things of that nature. You know, you see a lot of pastors and preachers who, you know, walk, who feel that they've got to make an inch and different things like that. That's not God. Just get started with the worship. There's a thing that we have to understand. What we don't understand is that worship is absolutely essential to who we are. But the thing about it is this. The judgment of God is final. Final. And he is no longer holding it from the wicked. He's no longer holding it back from the wicked. There's no more mercy for the wicked in the house of God. There's no more mercy for the wicked because of their false doctrines, false prophecies, and their unrepentant soul. They're unrepentant. And because of that, they're going to be abased. They're going to be cast down, and they're going to lose every bit of the integrity they thought they had. It's a problem. I mean, when people, you know, when pastors who are very well known are now being exposed in homosexual, you know, situations. Pastors are now being exposed for lying about the very word of God. We have to be careful. We have to really pay attention. Really pay attention to what we're hearing. We have to really pay attention to what's being said to us. And you have to go personally to the Bible. Write down the scriptures that are being said to you. Because you have to go to the Bible yourself. Study to show yourself approved. Second Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or interpreting the word of truth. Don't let people just say any old thing to you. Don't let people just say whatever they're going to say and then say that it's the word of God. No, no. That's not how this works. We're just, you know, in a place right now where you have the tools. You have the tools. You got the internet, where you can find so many things to really give you an understanding of the word of God. You've got different ministries going over the airwaves that are valid. I'm not going to say they're all bad. A lot of them are, but I'm not going to say they're all bad. But a lot of them are. They're lying about things. They're talking about things that are irrelevant to who we are and to the need we have in Christ. You're hungry and thirsting after righteousness. You have to understand that you got to beware of the wolf. But God has given us an encouragement by saying that the wolves will be identified and chased from the land. God said he will avenge his house. He will avenge his house. It's not a time and a place for you to be selfish in who you are, pastor. It is no longer time for you to be selfish. These are not your people. These people are looking for God, not you. So you got chosen God, not you. This is directly a love thing. You have to show them God. You have to show them the love of God, not you. Because they're not looking for you. Because if they're looking for you, they're going to fall. People are going to fall looking for people. You've got to make sure that when you're thirsty and you're hungry, that it's after the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to seek an unbroken fellowship with God every single day. You find time. You find yourself in a place and time where you and God are taking time for each other. Develop that intimacy, and you will be able to see and understand who is and is not right to feed you the word of God for your sustenance and your strength in this walk of faith. There is absolutely no more time for us to play church. We're not about who got the best looking robes on. We're not about who has the best singing choir, who has the biggest choir. We're not about who can get more members than who. This ain't about you getting members of a cult. This is not about you getting members of your church. This is about us bringing people in, being a body of believers who build believers for the body. This is not about us, it's about Christ. Until you can understand and begin to walk in the selfless nature of Christ, where you literally can give your life for this thing, give your very life for this thing, that's when you'll understand promotion. That's when you'll understand what God desires for us and what he desires from us. You got to be ready to give your life for it. It's not about who can collect the most money. It's not about who gets the best tithing, who gets the best offering, what pastor's driving the best car, who got the biggest building. It's not about that. Because even if you only had 50 members, or 5 members for that matter, if they're dedicated to the work of the Lord, then that is the most important thing. This is not about you going and saying, I can't go and preach for you unless I get this particular amount of money. No, no, it's about you just going because God has instructed you to go. It's about you being who God has called you to be. This is not about business. It's not about big business. It's not about monetary gain. This is about soul winning. And how can you win a soul when your focus is on money and not ministry?
Because we're on the
Ministry is not about you going to get in the pulpit. Ministry is about servitude. It's about stepping back from your ego. It's about stepping back from who you are. If you're a real prophet of God, your every prophecy can't be about somebody getting money and houses and cars and land. It can't be about, you won't have to, as a prophet, rebuke. You don't have to correct. You don't have to cast some things down, destroy some things, pull some things up. You don't have to uproot some things, prophet. You can't just walk in prosperity all the time. The enemy won't leave you alone if you're doing the will of God. He's asking you for doing the will of God because it's not about whether or not you love him or worship him. His mission ain't about you really worshiping him. His mission is to get you away from worshiping God. That's really what it is. Hallelujah. His mission is not about you loving him or worshiping him. It's about you not worshiping God. And this is what the prophet was talking about even in our primary scripture text, he was talking about the fact that this is a falling away from the way of God. This is our season to move back into the way of God. Let's deal, Apostle, with some of the symbols and symbolism that go along with what we're talking about today.
Amen. You know, what we're seeing all around us is even our television stations, you know, our regular television stations, CBS, ABC, NBC, all of them have symbols. CBS has a big eye. And that's a reminiscent of the all-seeing eye, or the eye of Horus. The eye of Horus is the kind of eye that's got like, looks like an Egyptian eye, like it's got on makeup or whatever. And we've seen it in all kinds of things. And I had a Sony computer, and there's a boat that has the eye of Horus on it, and that's the way it opens up with the Sony. I recall when I loved the computer because it had all these wonderful things and everything, but I remember that when it opened up this boat was going through the water, and it's got this eye of Horus on the front of it, and then it would, like, burst up, and then it would just show nothing but the eye, and it goes, like, three or four different dimensions. But the stuff all around us, different symbolisms that is trying to take the place of God. Remember, the enemy said that he wants to exalt himself above the throne of God. And so what he does is he copies either what God has or he'll mock it. And what he'll do is he'll replace it with his thing. On the back of a dollar bill, you've got a pyramid. And in the United States, our whole, pretty much everything concerning the United States is shaped with symbolism. You've heard about the Illuminati, and you heard about the people in the music industry that are masons and things of that nature. But the thing that's bad is that all of this stuff has infiltrated the church. I know because, and see, I'm not talking about something that I read, something that I just read. Everything that I'm also talking from personal experience, because the information that's out there now is all over the place concerning the Illuminati and the Masonic Order. And what has happened is folks, and it's real important to talk about it now because our kids are beginning to graduate. They're going to graduate either this week or next week or within the next few weeks. Millions of children around the United States are graduating from high school, and they're going to be going to someone's college. And the young men are going to be going to colleges where they have fraternities, and the young ladies are going to be going to colleges where they have sororities. And your sons and your daughters, some of you have pledged and are members of sororities and fraternities that dealt with symbolisms that are of the enemy, Satan, or Lucifer. been out there to bring it to your attention. But what has happened is we don't want to believe that we allow ourselves to get fooled, hoodwinked, bamboozled, put in a position of receiving something that was of the enemy. We don't want to believe it. But look all over the United States now. If you go to Memphis, Tennessee, and we had this is not the first time that we've talked about the different symbolisms or the things that are in the United States, the obelisks that are all over the United States. And the not only the obelisks, but other symbols that are being used, such as the pyramid, all over the United States. And what we're seeing is you see these symbolisms and you just kind of go by it. You don't even know, maybe. You don't even know that these things are affecting us. In Washington, D.C., we have several symbols. We got the Washington Monument. And as a matter of fact, when you take an aerial view of the city of Washington, the diagram draws a picture of a hexagon. And a hexagon is a six-sided star that has a pentagon inside of it. And that is the primary tool that's used by Satanists, witches, warlocks to chant and do incantations and to do what they call hexes. When we were growing up, you heard about people saying they was going to put a hex on you, where they had to use a hexagram or a hexagon to be able to do it. And a hexagram, you see them all over the place. In New York City, the Statue of Liberty sits on top of a hexagram. There's other things. The so-called Star of David, we see it all over the place because of Israel. It's used as their flag, the symbols on their flag. But guess what? That star of David really is a hexagram. It's a six-pointed star that has a circle around it, and it has a pentagram or inside of the hexagram. It's used as a standby for magicians and alchemists. And sorcerers believe that it represents the footprints of a special kind of demon called a true. Yeah. And it's used in ceremonies both to call up demons and to keep them away. And whenever they're going to call up a demon to get rid of another demon, that means that demon is stronger than the demon that they called it up. I mean, the one that they called up is stronger than the one that they're trying to get rid of. Satanists say that the sorcerer, the hexagram, is a powerful tool to invoke Satan. As I said, in fact, the word hex, and then put a hex or a curse on people, it comes from the word of hexagram. And this is stuff that's around us every day. We see it everywhere. The other day I saw a car, you know, there's plenty of them that have symbols on the back of them. You see different Masonic symbols. And as a matter of fact, I'm sorry, maybe some of you are Eastern stars. That Eastern star is the so-called Star of David, and it also is a hexagram. And here's the thing. All of these different kinds of, as I said, we got all of our children that's getting ready to get out of
Now, putting myself in position to do what God says, we have to recognize those things that are around us.
There's when I was growing up in the 60s, they had this thing called a peace sign. And now you can see that the peace sign is back out again, because just a few weeks ago here in Chicago, they had the NATO summit talks. And they had lots of demonstrations and things of that nature. And so people were wearing the peace sign again like they were in the 60s. But the problem is they didn't know what that peace sign was.
Okay, yes.
They did not know what the peace sign and the peace symbol was. That peace symbol was Nero's cross, which is a broken, upside-down cross. Nero was a Roman emperor, and he was the one that persecuted the early Christians. And it's basically, his main thing was the destruction of Christianity. He wanted to destroy Christianity. Now, we're going to talk about some more symbols. I'm going to turn it back over to the prophet for a second.
Everybody who grew up in the 70s and 80s who really came in around the burgeoning popularity of rap, you remember around 86 to about 92, man, everybody had a peace sign. Everybody had a peace sign.
Go back even further.
Yeah, we can go back further than that, but just for those in my age group, we wanted to restart. You know, we wanted to re-up on that Back to Africa movement that started in the 60s with the Nation of Islam and, you know, all of that. So what we did not know was that rap was really initiating that movement all over again, was re-initiating the Nation of Islam movement, of the separatist movement, which is going back everywhere. And everybody was wearing the peace sign. So here it is. We're talking about this music that we grew up really loving and you know, and nodding our heads to, and all of this wonderful stuff that we got. But here it is. These people were really promoting rebellion. Yeah, let's take a second.
Say
lies, the song says.
Pause and thinking and ponder on that.
Ponder on these things. We, as a youth, promoted anarchy and rebellion against God. And the thing about it is, if you grew up in the church, think about that. You grew up in the church, but you were not listening to rap music. Wear your peace sign because you want to wear your medallion, your African medallion, your peace sign medallion, and all these other things. Don't you know, those of you who didn't, that's fine, but those of you who did, let's really think about the fact that before we came to a knowledge of Christ, and even then, we still wanted to wear these signs. Kind of like there's this one everybody falls into because it's been promoted. It's been promoted as as another kind of cross.
Right.
That Ankh, the Egyptian Ankh. It's been promoted as another, because we used to wear those back in the day, and then we started wearing the 90s, and in the 2000s, the kids are wearing them again. The Ankh is not a Christian symbol. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, beloved of God, the Ankh is not a cross. It is an Egyptian symbol. If you ever have seen a hieroglyphic of one of the Egyptian gods or one of the Egyptian pharaohs,
every one of them,
they all carried an Ankh. It's a mystical symbol. Mystical symbol. It symbolizes a mythical eternal life or rebirth and the life-giving power of the sun. Not the S-O-N, the S-U-E. So the Ankh was really, if you look at a symbol of the Egyptian god, especially Horus, who was the sun god.
Horus, Osiris.
Osiris.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Anubis. You know, all those gods carried Ankhs because it was a symbol of their immortality as a god. And here we are as believers walking around with the symbol on. Loud and proud.
Let me piggyback on that just a little bit. I was talking about the Eye of Horus earlier, and that's something that even our elementary school kids are doing now. This is something they're doing in school. I'm a school bus driver, and it's one of the most favorite craft projects in schools right now because it represents the eye of the Egyptian sun god Horus, and he lost that eye in a battle. Family set. Pagans use it as a charm to ward off evil. And here we are, our kids are being taught about Horus. They're being taught about this Isle of Horus, and because it's a beautiful, it's very colorful. And so it's one of the most favorite crafts that's in school right now. But as I was saying about going, our kids that's getting ready to graduate, they're getting ready to go to college. And then one of the first things they did, I was 18, I couldn't wait to get away from home, and I went and joined the Air Force. You either going to go to work, this is the age from 18 to 30 to 26 is the key years where we lose our children.
Yes.
And so it's key for you to train up a child the way that he should go so that he would not depart from the truth. Because even though we do some things, we still won't go too far. And what it is even when we do some things, we kind of say, you know what, some ain't always right with that. And we'll end up coming back to the truth. And so don't feel bad about telling your children the truth. As I was saying, every Greek fraternity and every Greek sorority has its roots in the Masonic. And the Masonic deals with two different symbols nowadays that you see them everywhere. You can't get around them. One is the square and the compass, and the other one is the skull and the crossbones.
Yep.
You cannot go in any store that sells clothing in the African American or in any store where people of color go and not see hats, belts, shirts, shoes, pants,
jackets,
hoodies,
all that stuff.
Everything with the skull and crossbones on it. And those things are symbolizing murder and death. Now, bear this in mind. In pretty much in every instance, there's some kind of glowing eye.
Yep, red.
Glowing red or gold or green or orange eyes. And it basically encapsulates the person as well. Also, the people that are promoting it are the ones that are singing songs that promote violence, that promote promiscuity, that promote death, murder, madness, and mayhem.
Yeah. And we have seen those rappers on a regular basis. And it bothers me. And I guess it's because I'm of that mind that says once you have the information, now you're accountable for it. And now you have this you're getting this information. Not only are we talking about that, but when we were talking about the Masonic order and things like that, we're talking about the Ethan's card.
Right.
They operate with that big pentagram, that 5-point star with the circle.
Oh, that's a hexagram.
And the thing is, where it gets serious is, that's a demonic hand.
Yeah, the head of Baphomet.
The head of Baphomet, exactly. Who is half, part goat, part woman, part man.
Yeah.
He's a horn. He's called the horn god. And Baphomet, brothers and sisters, is the devil. It's Satan. Lucifer. And so when you walk around with the shirt with the pentagram on it, you walk around, you know, which is the five points upside down with the big circle with the hexagram. That's what it is.
It's got a pentagon in the middle.
That's right. It's got a pentagon in the middle of the circle. I mean, we see those constantly. That is a demonic symbol. And I mean, it's basically used in a cult ritual, man, to direct forces and energy. I mean, often it represents Satanism,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the horned god, the Baphomet, the horned god, or various expressions of contemporary occultism, you know, devil worship. Let's just put it out in plain terms. It represents devil worship. And people are okay with this. I think about how I was looking at some pictures just the other day, a couple of days ago or so. And I saw a picture that said, gay is the new black.
Mm.
They have the gall in homosexuality to now say that they're comparing their quote-unquote civil rights struggle to the plight of the African American. They constantly wear the peace sign in multicolored fashion. They took, I mean, think about, you don't talk about symbolism, they took the very symbol that is the promise of God and perverted it and called it their own, which is the rainbow. They took the rainbow sign that God made the promise with Noah. God made a promise to Noah that whenever it rains from here on out, because I will no longer destroy the earth by water, so when it rains from here on out, after the rains, you don't see my sign in the air. It's a rainbow sign. And I know for a fact that somebody sometime in their lifetime has seen a rainbow in the sky after it's rained, when the sun comes out. How do you see that and not know God is real? But they're taking that sign and perverting it. So here we go with another symbol. Now they're taking that symbol and made it an evil thing. Now they take the cross of Nero and put rainbow colors on it. They're promoting anarchy, rebellion. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not be fooled. Please do not be fooled. We're talking about many things that is every day in your sight. Every day in your sight. Then we always talk about the seven or eight wonders of the world. You know, I know we've heard about that in our life and time. And now we're talking, you know, and one of those seven wonders of the world is the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People marvel at the building of the Sphinx.
And the pyramid.
And how in Giza, which is near in Egypt, the Sphinx sits in front of the great pyramids, as they say. The thing that has the head of a human being and the body of a lion, which then it's like, you know, perched or sitting, you know, in front as a guardian, because that's what it is. The Egyptian and Babylonian symbol or guardian of sacred places. And they call the Great Pyramid of Giza a sacred and holy place. So they put a saint, they put a guardian in front of it. In front of it. It's an idol. It is an idol. It is not something to be worshipped. It is an idol. It represents a false god. A false god. So we have, you know, really been caught off guard in so many different areas because we look at stuff and think that it's natural. You know, think it's an everyday part of life. When really, you are falling prey to the occultism of this world, to the spiritual wickedness of the heavens and the rulers of the darkness of this world. You're falling prey to them. We've all fallen prey to them because we didn't have the knowledge. And now that we have the knowledge, we got to act on that knowledge. Is that right, Apostle?
Amen. As we come to a close with this, and this is going to be more than just one part, You can't really get really deep into it because it's just so much information. But what I want to share with you is that all of these symbols are readily accessible. I'll tell you about the site EX Ministries at Elder G. Craig Lewis. And this information, a lot of the information that we share today is coming from the truth behind hip-hop. The Truth Behind Hip Hop, Volume 4. And so I want to share with you once more again, who can separate us from the love of Christ?
Yeah.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right,
Jesus has left here on the earth escapes for everything. He's given us keys to the kingdom. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose on heaven. Those are just some of the keys. Those are not all of the keys. The name of Jesus is a key. Communion is a key. We talked about it extensively on several other teachings. We want to make sure that you know that these symbols that are out here, you can overcome all of these symbols. Look out for your children. Research before you allow them to join fraternities and sororities. And if you're part of a sorority and part of a fraternity, check out the information and then renounce the fraternity, renounce the sorority, because you have taken some oath. And the scriptures, Jesus has clearly forbade us to take oaths. Not to take oaths of man, because those oaths are of the enemy. And they're always designed, and they're things that are done in the secret. God does not want us to do anything in secret. We are to be open to do all those things that God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should come, believe on him shall perish but have everlasting life. God has given us the keys to be able to tell others about him. Nothing is in secret. As a matter of fact, the street that the enemy is really out to steal, kill, and destroy, that's what the scripture says. From 12 o'clock midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning, that's when they can see the light of God shining in us. And they are praying mightily that we die in our sleep. They want to kill us. And so that's why we have commanders of the morning that are praying to protect those of us that are either slumbering or sleeping. Because the enemy is at his job at all times. He can see the light of God. He knows his time is almost over. And all those dominions, all those that fell with him when they tried to take over, they don't have bodies. The only way they can exist is that we give them our will and we give them permission. The Lord has to give them permission to even to come and try to mess with us. He said, "Will you consider my servant Corey?" And it's up to Corey to be. We thank you for being with us all today, and we're going to open up the lines because I know there's some people that probably want to say a few things. And we're going to wait a second to see if we have anything to say. And in fact, we're going to continue and we're going to close up. Amen.
Amen. Apostle Clark?
Okay, hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen,
Apostle Clark?
Even though we may not be able to hear you, we recognize that some of you are on the computer, and you've been chatting as we've been going for a long today. But we're going to say that God is the one that's always in control. He's put us in a position to be able to overcome everything.
That's right.
And those of you that's been listening,
that's
right, you want to make sure that you have an opportunity, because someone may be listening that don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of their sin.
Amen.
And so we're going to invite you even right now.
Amen.
To be part of the kingdom of God. See, this is a Kingdom Builders International presentation. And we want to build up the kingdom of God. See, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We know that He died on the cross for us. We know that He intercedes on our behalf to the Father. And we recognize that He died on the cross that we might have right to the keys and to His kingdom. And so if you believe that, then we want you to be happy. We want you to be joyous. We want you to have dominion, power, and authority. Because He gave that to all those that are believers. He created man in His image and in His likeness. And He expects us to be like Him, to look like Him, to sound like Him, to act like Him. And so if you believe that, we're going to say right now, if you repeat after me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
I believe that you died for me.
I believe that you
died. I believe that you were here in the earth. I believe that you did say and do perform a miracle. I want to give my life to you now. I believe you died for me, and I believe that your blood is going to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I say right now that I am yours, and that you are my Lord, and that you are my Savior. I believe that you died for me, and that you love me. Now, if you just say those words,
hallelujah!
Glory, glory. Now, they're doing a much better job up in the heavenly.
Yeah.
Because every time a soul would say, hey, we got a chorus going on saying happy birthday to you. And it's better even than the one that Stevie said, happy birthday to you. You've been birthed into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Happy birthday to all
glory
born
to
the kingdom.
To all that have done that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we believe in praying. We believe in getting the information out to you. If you were one of the ones that did it on today, we pray that you would contact us either through Warriors for Christ House Prayer Church International, through the Warfare Hour, or through our Facebook. But the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, if you contact the site with for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, they'll send you a Bible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They sure you get a Bible. And they got some new stuff now that if you, since it's the 21st century, they got some new technology
right
to make sure that you'll be able to understand what it is that you're getting. Amen.
Exactly.
And so we're going to pray that you would go ahead and contact them so that they can get that information to you. Also, if you don't have a church home, contact us and let us know, because we know people all over the United States and in other countries. And we can lead down or direct you to someone that has a Bible teaching church. And that'll help you get the power and authority and the ability to be able to fight demons and cast out devils and to lay hands on the sick. Because there's more than just the things we were talking about on today.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to pray. We're going to have a prophet Corey come and pray for all of you and for us that God, no retaliation and no retribution
sure
is going to come from what it is that we've done. things are going to be the same, if not better, than the way we left them. And he's going to pray a prayer as God gives to him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we prepare ourselves. As we prepare ourselves, we thank God for Worship Christ House Prayer Church International. We thank God for Kingdom Builders International for the opportunity. We want to say that, as we get ready to go forth, just one quick thing, Jimmy. Contact us on Facebook. Facebook.com, Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. Let us know where you are. We want to assist in the effort of keeping you built up in the kingdom of God. So let's go into prayer. Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries is godly proud and just thankful to God for the opportunities that we've been given. Amen. Let's go into prayer. Every household in God, who's listening to my birth room, fall down and die in the name of Jesus Christ. Every unfriendly friend delegated against my blessing, scatter in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of disobedience and rebellion in my life, die in the name of Jesus. And every demon propagating satanic covenants in my life, fall down and die in the name of Jesus. Any organ in my body presently or any evil altar, ropes in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I curse the root of every sickness in my life. And in the name of Jesus, I destroy every anchor of any bondage in my life. And in the name of Jesus, every spirit of hardship in my life, loose your hold. In the lives of those that are listening, loose your hold on our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Every problem that defies solution in our lives, God, kill it. In the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus, destroy it. Every power resisting the power of God in our lives, we attack you with the thunder fire of God. And in the name of Jesus, every mountain of stubborn problems in our lives, fall down and die.
Yes.
God, we thank you that every invisible hand working evil in our lives will wither and die in Jesus' name. We thank you that every demon of frustration in our lives has died. In Jesus' name, we reject every spirit of rejection and cancel its operations in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we reject and cast out of our lives every deeply rooted failure. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of poverty in our lives and in our family lives, our lives are not your candidates. Die in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost fire. Burn every garment of poverty in our lives. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of failure in the lives of the believers of Jesus Christ, lose your hold and die. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of pocket withholds, wasting our finances, die in the name of Jesus. For we decree, I decree on behalf of all those listening that we shall not labor in vain. Another person shall not eat the fruit of our labor in the name of Jesus Christ. Every ancestral spirit of anger, loose your hold upon our lives. In the name of Jesus, every hold of unforgiving spirit in our lives, break by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every hold of the spirit of prayerlessness in our lives, die now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit stealing from us, fall down and die. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of blindness in our lives, die. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of poverty in our foundation, die. In the name of Jesus, every problem, praying for our failure, shall not see the daylight. In the name of Jesus, every warfare against our breakthroughs in the heavenlies, scatter. In the name of Jesus, every circle of problems in our lives, die. And in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we make our breakthroughs untouchable for any evil power. And in the name of Jesus, your powers, you powers, working against our treasures, fall down and die. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for the answer to our prayers. And we know, God, that it is done. In Jesus' name, we cover this prayer in the blood of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you.
thank you for and thank you and good night.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Prophet, for covering us. We appreciate that God has used you in a mighty way. We thank you for being with us all tonight.
Hallelujah.
We pray that we've been a blessing to you. We have just a few announcements before we go. Kingdom Builders International is iron sharp as iron, which is Proverbs 27:17. We're seeking male to mentor male youth. And we're going to be rebuilding our communities with our lives. With the first Saturday of the month at 9:00 a.m., it's going to be held at the YWCA of Northwest Indiana, which is 150 West 15th Avenue here in the City of Glory, known as the City of Gary, Indiana, 46407. The number there is 219-881-9922. Facilitator is Brother QT Dots, and the founder of Kingdom Builders International is Minister Teresa Dots. We're going to be there at 9:00 a.m. Refreshments will be served, and this is going to be a power hour. We're going to sit up and we're going to get some things done, and we're going to begin to mentor and go and figure out, brainstorm, and figure out some things. And that's going to be the first Saturday of the month. We're going to be doing this, and the first one is this Saturday, June the 2nd. First Saturday of the month, rebuilding our community with our lives, seeking men to mentor male youth. All males are asked to come. Also, on Saturday, June the 9th at 2012, Kingdom Building, the Rhema Word, the Women of Praise Ministry is presenting Dr. Shirley Rice, minister of Liberty Baptist Church here in the City of Gary. That's going to be Saturday, June the 9th at 2012 at 12 noon sharp. And that's going to be here at the Little Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue, which is right off in between Jefferson and Adams Street here in the City of Glory. Apostle Mary Emmons is our pastor and our covering CEO, and Minister Sheila James Thomas is the CEO of Building Rhema Word. Amen. Okay, before we go, today is the 31st of May, the last day of May. So we're getting ready to go into a brand new month. And so our prayer calendar begins today with the word of boldness. Wow. The word of boldness, and your scripture is Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 19. On Friday, the first, the word of salvation, and the scripture is 2 Timothy 2 and 10. On Saturday is God's grace, and the scripture is 2 Peter 3 and 18. On Monday is love, Ephesians 5 and 2. Tuesday is integrity, Psalms 25 and 21. On Wednesday is self-control, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. And when we come back, God willing, on next Thursday, love for God's word, Psalms 19 and verse 10. We give praises and honor to our son in the ministry. We thank him, Prophet Corey Granick, for being with us today, and we pray that we've been a blessing to you, and we say to you that failure is not an option. We believe that because we believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We also believe in this ministry that as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things should be added unto us, and we believe that because we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, so because he can lead, guide, and direct our path. And we believe that nothing can turn us from the face of God. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you next week on the Warfare Hour.
Amen.